News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8.07 on a Tuesday.
Yeah, and that means it's time to talk with Quinn Hillier. And you can read his work at quinnhillier.com. Also writes in Louisiana for NOLA.com and The Advocate. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, guys.
So plenty to get to, and maybe we'll get into this runoff today in South Carolina. But I know you were excited and are excited about this new movie that's coming out, and maybe it's already out, Brink of War, about Reagan and Gorbachev. My only question is Zendaya in this movie too? You know, she's the actress that's apparently in everything now, from Spider-Man to The Odyssey. Mm-hmm. Have they put her in the new Reagan flick too? Or what's this? Of course, you kind of know what it's about with Reagan and Gorbachev, but what have you heard about this movie?
Well, I didn't just hear it. I saw it. It's out here in Mobile, and it is really, really good. It's about the famous summit at Reykjavik when they went there thinking they might actually not just limit but actually reduce nuclear arms for the first time, and then they went to cutting them in half, and then they actually put on the table maybe getting rid of all nuclear weapons, or at least all ballistic nukes on ballistic missiles. And then it all fell apart right at the end, and the media played it as a huge, huge disaster that it fell apart, but it actually set the stage for later success. It's a very dramatic thing. It was dramatic at the time, but they really do a good job of portraying it. Jeff Daniels doesn't really look like Reagan, and he plays him way too heavy. But other than that, he carries it off really well. And I did some research, and with just a few little exceptions for some dramatic license about who was in the room when and stuff like that, they really did stick to the back and forth, the actual substance of the back and forth of the negotiations. And it's fascinating, but here's why I want to talk about it. Because everybody's like, okay, yeah, well, that was 40 years ago, whatever. Even though it was one of the most, important 30 hours, basically, in the history of the modern world. But everybody's like, yeah, whatever. That's 40 years ago. Here's the thing: they, in the course of doing this, they, without making Gorbachev a bad guy, because he wasn't. He was a commie, but he was, he was actually a humane character. But without making him a bad guy, they make clear, so clear, the distinctions between our system and theirs, between freedom and repression, between the free market and capitalism and a managed economy that ends up basically killing the economy. They make all that very clear, and they make clear the importance of human rights, and they have wonderful lines, and they're from Reagan. He might not have said them at the exact time that they put them in his mouth, but they're all lines that he said about individual liberty. And it is really important and absolutely true, and then I'll stop for a second, but it's absolutely true. Gorbachev only wanted to negotiate on nukes. Reagan insisted, against the advice of some of his aides, to also put human rights front and center.
Interesting.
And his point was he didn't just want to talk about nukes, which was a dream of his from going back 30 years to reduce nuclear weapons, but he wanted to make the distinction between the systems. He wanted to emphasize that it's not just who has most power, but who has the more humane, more human system. And some of the lines coming out of his mouth are so good, so well done. I think every high schooler and college kid in America today should see this movie. I wish you could make him see this movie. The only other movie I've ever seen said that about is The Lives of Others in 2007, which was about repression in East Germany. But this is a wonderful movie. I wish everybody could see it.
That's great to hear.
El Said should go see it, don't you?
Yeah, maybe some candidates for office need to go check this
Democratic
movie
Socialists
out.
Democratic Socialists, just to line up, go watch it.
Yeah, all these kids today that you know, they go to college, and yeah, college is expensive, but their parents are paying for it or whatever, and they don't actually have to pay for anything once they're there in terms of stuff that they hand over. They get, you know, they get rock climbing walls, and they get cry rooms, and they get coffee shops, and they get all these amenities, and they just either, you know, they basically just sign for it. They don't see any money coming out of their hands, and then they go to classes, and their professors teach them gobbledygook or malicious stuff about how evil we are. And so they get out of college and they're like, oh, yeah, Mandami, it's great, because they've never actually had to deal with the give and take of the market. They haven't had to deal with anything that is demanding of them. Now at the University of Michigan, they all get pass-fail grades the first semester. They're not allowed to get letter grades. They're coddled. They need to see this. They need to understand what freedom is about and what the market is about.
Well, it's good that you like this, because you know so many documentaries that I get really excited for, or historical, I guess, docudramas or whatever you would call them, you could tell sometimes right when the actual movie begins that, okay, this director or this producer has a clear agenda.
Yep.
And they're kind of, you know, showing this historical event in a light that suits them.
Yep.
What I want to see is, you know, what actually happened, and make it as dramatic as it actually was. So I'm glad that it doesn't sound like this was an agenda that some director had and was able to kind of shift history to fit their vision.
Well, look, some people are going to say, especially the left, that this is a little too kind to Reagan. Maybe a little bit. But see, the thing is, there are actual transcripts of what was said there.
Mm-hmm.
They have, and I checked it out afterwards, and almost everything that the movie portrays, and again, this is a docudrama, it's not a documentary, it's a slightly, ever so slightly fictionalized account,
mm-hmm.
but almost everything that they portray happened as they portray it, in the order they portray it, the arguments were exactly as they portrayed it. I mean, this is all in the transcript, so it is very close to being real to life, and by doing so, yeah, the guy does have an agenda to, A, catch the drama of it, and, B, he does want to push the idea of the advantages of individual liberty, the moral imperative mm-hmm. of individual liberty. But it's not really heavy-handed, and meanwhile, it is accurate.
So I'm surprised a movie like this is even being made. Who is the filmmaker, and does he have a history of movies with this sort of theme?
So Michael Gunn, the director and producer and wrote it, and doesn't have a Wikipedia page, but it's distributed by Angel Studios, an American independent publicly traded company, film distributed based in Utah.
Angel Studios is out to produce, there used to be some of these outfits that did religious, you know, conservative religious kind of movies, but their production quality wasn't high.
Right.
This is still culturally, just broadly culturally pro-Western, pro-faith kind of movies,
mm-hmm.
but with very high production values and not overwhelming, you know, proselytization. This is the same studio that did another movie that's out right now that's really good called Young Washington.
Okay.
About the young George Washington. They've got others coming out that are about the Revolutionary War and things like that. I'm really impressed with Angel Studios.
I like that. Yeah, I didn't realize they did Young Washington. I've been wanting to see that too, and it looks like what really put Angel Studios on the map was Sound of Freedom a few years ago.
Yeah. Oh,
the Jim
okay.
Caviezel movie that, remember how that went viral,
mm-hmm.
With people saying they were going to go check that out. So good rec Quinn. Good recommendation. Yeah. I'm going to have to check this out for sure. And I like that J.K. Simmons is in this movie as well. What an actor. So yeah, he plays the Secretary of State.
You know what? He looks. They make him look like Schultz. He doesn't. Schultz was a tough guy, and it's really hard for Simmons to be tough enough because he always has a twinkle in his eye. But I love J.K. Simmons anyway. And again, I'm not just saying go see it because I agree with it. I'm saying go see it because it was actually a very entertaining, very well done movie.
I'm glad to hear that. Mm-hmm. I really am. Now the idea would be, how do we take everybody and lead them by their hands to go to the movies, to watch the movie, and get an idea of what the history of America's all about.
I think Dan and I are going to hit up a matinee later today. We're going to go check out the movie.
Yep.
And this time we have with you, Quinn, and we'll let you go here at the break, but Besant yesterday, taking a different tactics with Iran. I think he called it Economic D-Day, but the actual project here, they've given the name Operation Economic Outcast. And the plan now with an Iran that is supposedly already kind of with the grip tightening around its neck, going through some serious economic harms, they want to make it worse. Does this sound like a plan that may help move things along, or are we just throwing more darts at the wall now?
I didn't look at it closely. I saw some analysts, I just read the headline saying that this isn't really strong enough, that Iran has ways around this, and there are other things we can do that we're not doing yet. Look, as far as I'm concerned, anything we can do to ramp up the pressure on them is good. Anything, and especially economic and diplomatic, we don't put our people at risk, et cetera. But we should be going all out. We shouldn't be doing half measures because these guys are bad, because this is costing us a ton of money, because it's endangering all sorts of things, people and places around the world. But the steps he took yesterday from what I looked at, they moved the ball in the right direction.
I know you got to go, Quinn. You got another appointment, but the on display of wide open conversation argument between America and Canada. I'm not a big fan of all this.
You're talking about the
trade
the
war.
Back and forth. Come on. Look, Canada's not our enemy. Why are we doing this?
I don't know.
This president who does a lot of things right, but in one day, he says Kim Jong Un is my pal, and we're going to be nice to the commies in North Korea, the worst regime on earth. And the next day, he's declaring economic war on our best on one of our two or three best friends in the world, Canada.
It's kind of weird. It reminds me of the dispute with the rent downtown between the county and the city, and I'm like, could you not have settled this without it becoming a headline?
Exactly.
All right, Quinn, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks a lot.
All right, Quinn Hillier, NOLA.com, QuinnHillier.com, and let's get to your texts and calls, 251-343-0106. Plenty of local news headlines we've been discussing this morning and more on the way right here on Mobile Mornings.
Getting your morning moving, Mobile Mornings, with Dan Brennan and Dalton Owig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 825, text line 251-343-0106. Unnamed texter says, Canada has been living off of our tariffs forever, and Trump is going to fix it, and they don't want that to happen. So it's very obvious to me that if they can overcharge us for decades and nobody does anything about it, that it's time that we fix that. I don't buy anything from Canada. I don't care.
Mm. Canada does have some protectionist tariffs built in on their own. The problem here is, I mean, we're neighbors, so we have so many industries that are just integrated beyond belief. I mean, I don't know if you heard J.D. Vance, the vice president, yesterday with the Freudian slip. It almost seemed to me that it was written in his copy.
Okay,
where
he
called Canada a state. And he said he was complaining about Canada and this whole trade debate.
And then Trump said they act like a state. They're not a state.
Trump says he wants to make them a state.
Yeah, he wants to make them a state.
But that they're dependent on the United States. I definitely see the argument from the Trump administration that Canada, it benefits when the U.S. does well, and they, for a long time, have protected certain industries that they kind of hold a better claim to and have given better deals to other countries like Europe. I was reading about the cheese market the other day and how Canada has helped. Europe sells cheese to Canada at a cheaper rate because of the rules they've built in. Okay. Or, I guess dairy overall, not dairy. Just cheese.
Yeah.
But it kind of reminds me, not just this fight, but so many that the U.S. is participating in right now around the world. It's very similar to me and my children right now, where they realize...
And these are stories that I hear every day.
So they will do the wrong thing, which kids do. I mean, it's my job as a parent to kind of lead them into the right direction, right?
Yes.
But the older they get, they do the wrong thing with more force. 7 and 5 years old, yeah. They are absolutely sure they are doing the right thing when they're doing the wrong thing. And they will tell me that and tell me exactly why they do it and that they don't have any plans on changing their mind and doing it the way that daddy wants them to do it. But they know that I'm not going to go full nuclear mode.
Mm-hmm.
And they are as ready for me to get as close to nuclear mode as possible, but they know I'm never going to push that button and just completely lose my mind. So they wait me out. And they go, I'll quit it, big guy. That's kind of, I know there's not exact similarities, but...
Do you need me to come over there and coach you up a little bit?
I think I'm doing all right, I mean, I have my frustrations just like any parent. U.S. is like the parent trying to get the kid in line here, and, hey, man, I sent you off to college, and you're screwing me over right now. I'm paying big bucks to have you in college, and you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. There's some similarities there. And Canada's kind of like the kid that goes, I don't care. You can say whatever you want. You're still going to do what you've been doing forever, and that's take care of me. That's the feeling I get from this Canada and U.S. situation.
I guess that's fair. But to me, it's all about negotiations. That's fine. You know, you see an imbalance, you straighten it out. You don't have to straighten out. Everything does not have to have a soprano tint to it. Like we're talking smack on each other. Like you say, first of all, we're neighbors. Would we rather they were more like Mexico? I don't think so. Mm-mm. I don't think there's plenty of cartels up there. Maybe some, but
the cartels in Canada just wear suits. That's the difference.
Maybe so. But what I'm saying is I just think it's just an unpleasant way to go about it. We're shouting over the fence back and forth with Canada. I don't have any love for Ford or any of the players that Canada is offering up. I don't have any sympathy for their situation necessarily. I just don't like it being so
public,
confrontational and public. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
So the basics of this, Trump yesterday announced 50% tariffs, cars, trucks, automotive parts, and steel. That's set to begin January 1st, so it's not like that goes into effect immediately. Canada said they were going to do dollar-for-dollar tariffs in retribution.
Beginning in September, right?
Carney might be kind of backing off on that a little bit. But remember, he was basically elected because he said he was going to take it to Trump.
Stand up to America, right? 8:30, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Good to have you all on the text line. Or call us, 251-343-0106.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
Good morning. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. A member of the Canadian curling team, Jean, texts in. She's mad with this.
I think it's he.
Yeah.
Jean, you don't have to tell us.
Is Jean Canadian? Because Jean seems to lose his or her stuff when Canada comes up,
yeah, and says, you don't know what you are talking about, Canada. Do your homework. Don't embarrass yourself.
Thank you, Gene.
I've
been embarrassing myself for so many years. I'm fine with it.
Mostly, I was just comparing. You said that this Canada-U.S. trade war reminds you of? Because you don't like the rhetoric, you don't like how public this has become, that we're disputing with our neighbor in this fashion, and compared it to the county of Mobile and city of Mobile and this, the dispute over Government Plaza and the offices in there, which I think that's a pretty good comparison. I was saying Canada is kind of like your kid that you're trying to put in line, but they know that
you're never gonna knock them around.
Yeah, you're never going to truly, you know, go nuclear mode, right? I mean, I punish them and things like that, but they really know how to test your limits. That's my point about Canada. So when you say you don't know what you're talking about Canada, that's basically all we said. The only, you know, factual certainty that I had and mentioned there was that there are certain things that Canada is very, very much a protectionist country about in some of their industry. And as text I got here, this is a big part of it too, and a big part of this Iran economic D-Day that Bessent was talking about is, well, it sounds like this is about Canada and this is about Iran, and it certainly is. It's also about China. And China's
It's almost like everything eventually, if you drill down, is about China.
It's all
AI's about China. Data centers are about China.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about China.
It is our main economic foe. And China using Canada for cheap goods and a trading partner to, in ways, take advantage of the United States. And then with Iran, of course, the oil and energy partnerships that China and Iran have. So when we wonder why we haven't gone full bore on some of these disputes we're having, even Iran, which I don't think there's a war that the president would like to end more right now than the war with Iran, although I could be wrong on that, it's because going full out to end it means you're again going straight up against China and you're harming China economically, and then you bring us just a little bit closer to whatever that brink ends up being, you know, the brink of blank. I don't know.
Well, doesn't it appear that the reason that Trump is not going all in is so there's something left to
negotiate?
If you obliterate it, then there. If you harm it to the degree that the people are going to forever suffer, then what have you really done? You maybe chased out the regime, but you haven't left them anything to rally with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, certainly you don't want to completely, you know, destroy all of the Iranian infrastructure and kill all of the people.
That right. And so he's kind of, that seems to be the thing, the reason that he's checking his swing here on this.
Yeah. So text here, big issue with Canada is that they are letting China send items to them to rebrand as Canadian and sell to the U.S. to get around tariffs. That's one text.
Okay.
Another.
Well, say it. Say that's the issue and negotiate that issue. And you know, but good morning, Dan and Dalton. The tariff thing is crazy with Canada. We just opened the new, brand new bridge between Detroit and Windsor.
The Gordie Howe.
Yeah, the Gordie Howe. That's right. Coolest name in the history of bridges, mm-hmm. I think. The next thing you know, Jimmy Buffett will be cool.
Yes.
The next thing you know, they'll be closing that bridge down, or why not just have $1,000 toll for every commercial truck coming from Canada exporting their goods. This saber rattling is getting us nowhere, so let's fix it once and for all. Y'all have a great day. That's kind of where I'm coming from with this.
Well, and also keep in mind how much of our economy is integrated with Canada. So you have to really pick and choose what you're going to hammer them on, because that price will work its way back into your life if you go out to buy a vehicle or whatever it may be. Another text here, Canada has not been a, quote, good friend since Trudeau was in office. Tim says,
was Trudeau a good friend?
I mean, since he went into office, that's when they became.
From that point on.
Tim says, the leader of Canada is a bad hombre, and Trump knows it. He was over the banking that's been cleaning all the cartel's money. Dave from Gulf Shores texts again and says, when I went to Niagara Falls, you know what I noticed? The American side of things was very polluted. The Canadian side, not so much. My parents just took a trip to Niagara Falls. I'll have to ask if they noticed the same thing, Dave.
Hmm.
DEI Texter says, speaking of Angel Studios, go see their version of Animal Farm. They nailed it. Orwell described exactly what's happening with this administration with it in 1984. I didn't realize this Animal Farm, I mean, this Angel Studios was putting out so many movies that would that would pique my interest. So, yeah, I'll have to check some of those out. Another texter, watched Phoenix City last night, and it was a great game. Colby Rasmus was at a showcase. So that's, and I forget if Colby's the dad or the uncle of of Kenley Rasmus.
I think he's the uncle.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Colby was at a showcase as an 18-year-old where there were scouts and coaches from all over. Typically, the players are put through a 60-yard dash. They field, throw, and hit. The participants were told to put on whatever shoes they were going to run in. They were all out on the field stretching, and one of the coaches saw Colby was sitting in the dugout. The coach said, "Come on out and get loose." Colby replied, "I came to throw and hit." So it didn't sound like he wanted to run for these coaches and scouts.
Colby's the one that had the 9 or 10 year major league.
Okay.
Career. I think.
So
one of them had the long career.
I think that's the uncle then, if I remember correctly.
And I think Colby's the name that I seem to recall as was in the majors a longer time.
So the daughter or niece here in this case, absolutely, what a star for Phoenix City. Has already tied Monet Davis's record for a girl in the Little League World Series with 14 strikeouts in one series.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. Texter finished the story by saying, "A little cocky, but I guess he knew what he was talking about." Yeah, he sure did. Don said, okay, you read that one about the Gordie Howe Bridge.
Yep.
Jason says, "Canada has mastered victimhood with an anti-Trump media as its mouthpiece, and the nuclear component is the difference in how Trump is addressing North Korea, in my opinion." Yeah, I mean, the fact that Jong-un has, what did Trump say, 57 nuclear missiles definitely plays a role in how they're policed compared to the rest of the world. And it's not like it hasn't been said before, but for any country that's attempting to gain nuclear weapons, North Korea is a great incentive for them to do just that and get the nukes, because you're obviously treated differently once you do have those nukes in your arsenal.
Yeah.
And also Jason said, "Good morning, guys. Who decided a two-lane road in the hood with no interstate access or decent hotels nearby was a good location to build this swamp complex?" As far as the sportsplex, that was one of our top three stories this morning. They said the aquatic center is going to open late next month.
Yep.
So that's right around the corner. September. I wonder how all that will work out. Is that just for swim teams, or are they going to have, like, I don't know, you pay a fee for the summer and you can go out and use it? I'm wondering. I should know at this point. It's been discussed for so long, but the aquatic center, wasn't there some kind of water park component to it as well?
Well, she talked about a water park may end up out there too. Mm-hmm. I don't know where that is.
And it's been noted that there are a lot of young swimmers in Mobile and Baldwin counties, I'm sure, but yeah, they're wanting better practice locations and tournament locations.
There's a lot of swim meets that go on right under your nose. You don't know it, but there's different swim clubs. If you have a neighborhood, and not all, but there are neighborhood-like pools. There's one in Spring Hill. There's one behind the, just off of Spring Hill College. Forget the name of that one. But there's different clubs that the pools are for recreation, but then they also can be for competition as well. So the teams and clubs will compete against each other. One from this side of town, they'll go on the road to Spring Hill or back and forth.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that's opening. And so they about to have 7 soccer fields up from 3, which we've had for several years now.
Right.
And then the end goal is to get to
10.
Around 10.
Yeah.
But as many of you have noted on the text line this morning, there are some other soccer complexes that some would say are in better locations to bring tournaments in. Is this another one of those kind of wait and see if we do have the tournaments coming in to Halls Mill Road?
You may be referring to down there at Owa in Foley. Yeah, right near the, they're in the back end. Basically, they're the back end of the giant shopping area. They've got hotels there. They've got well over 10 soccer fields, I believe. They're close to the beach. They're on the Beach Express. That's a group that set their goals. And it's the same money from Porch Creek Indians that created that soccer complex in Foley. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's very nice.
Yep.
It's competition, nice. Though. Kind of like we've been talking about with the airports here.
Yeah.
Michael says, Moco Soco, like Mobile County soccer, aka the soccer complex, is fine for the occasional practices, but unless they do major work on the turf and drainage, it's not fit for tournaments. OWA, both of Gulfport's and Fairhope complexes, are far superior. Said it seems like the county didn't even consult soccer people or visit an actual space before the original design. And Michael said, heck, even Sage is better now that they've replaced the artificial turf.
Huh.
So some insight there from someone who knows a little bit about soccer there.
Yeah. I remember when the soccer thing came up way back in the day. I'm talking about mid-90s, the first conversation about soccer in the city of Mobile, about and I don't remember what the conversation necessarily was all about.
It's the next big sport. It's going to be huge.
Yeah, I remember some of the names involved and the personalities involved, but that was a long time ago. And so from that point to now, we are at this
stage
juncture, and that doesn't seem like that's been the proper level of growth.
Yeah, you're right. Right about that. A texter here says, it's been a while since Katrina. I hope someone has looked at historical high water at the soccer/aquatic complex on Halls Mill.
Did you ever play the golf course that was down there?
I never got to play it.
Yeah.
And
I mean, you could, and at any given time, you could end up in a spot where the water's up to over your ankles.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't drain.
You're talking about the golf course that they're rebuilding right now? Yeah,
right.
I was just looking at that on Google Maps. I was doing what most normal people do and was going to Google Maps and looking at different golf courses around the area and just checking them out. That's what I was doing part of my Sunday. And I took a good look at where they're rebuilding that course.
You know, you did that in place of yelling at your kids.
Yeah.
We got a text, and it was funny, from Fire Dog, who said, Dalton, you're talking about frustration with trying to discipline your kids. He said, Dalton, I've got three daughters. Sometimes it's better to just walk away, go to Home Depot and look at the grills for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's kind of funny, but I think he's right.
Yeah, that's what I'm learning here. And I'm always up for more advice on the text line.
And I think it's different.
It's not like I have bad kids.
No.
They're just kids, right?
Yeah.
But what I'm learning is, as someone who grew up with just one brother.
Yeah.
So it was a male-dominated household.
Yeah, well, your parents were raising two boys.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the same thing as what you're dealing with.
Not the same. And I can be a bit of a dictator at mm-hmm. times. And what I'm realizing is dictators hold no power over females, mm-hmm. young or old, it seems. So my uncle has four girls, and they're all at least, in college now.
Okay.
And what I learn when I go to visit them is that is truly the best move for a dad of girls is to just keep your trap shut. And I'm terrible at that. Really bad at it.
You may get better at it. I have a friend that raised two girls, and I asked him one time what his advice was, what advice would be to dads with girls. And he said, stay out of it.
Stay
out of it.
That is the truth.
It feels powerless. And I'm not saying he stayed out of everything, every situation along the way when they were 5, 6, 7, and 8 years old. I don't know. But certainly when they got a little bit older, he just stayed
mm-hmm.
out of it.
All right. I'm going to continue to try to take that advice.
Okay.
We'll see if it pays off. Also, a big part of the conversation has, again, been the city of Pritchard and what they're going to do about policing. As the yesterday, the news was that they have until this Friday, the 28th, to decide whether they're going to pay the Mobile County Sheriff's Office to continue to police. Yesterday, Sheriff Birch extended that by a week. He said you have until next Friday, September 4th.
Okay.
But Debbie, after some of the story this morning with Mayor Carletta Davis saying basically they don't have the money budgeted to continue to pay the Sheriff's Office while attempting to rebuild the Pritchard Police Department, which it seems like from scratch. Debbie says, looks like the city of Pritchard should green light the data center to build their police department. That's interesting, isn't it? That the obvious financial issues in Pritchard, at the same time that it seems a lot of the city is saying no to potential revenue coming in the data centers.
Right.
And, you know, are they against the data center because they've been told to be against the data center? Or are a bunch of people in Pritchard, you know, saying, yeah, this data center is going to do more harm than good? I don't know.
They might be listening to the citizens. Are the citizens properly informed on, I mean, look.
Pros versus cons.
We're all kind of like, you know, if you've got a really hard and fast opinion on data centers that you can stand by and stand up and speak of, you're better than me. Now, I'm forming an opinion slowly by getting information and by listening to others who have got an opinion one way or the other. It seems to me the people who are for data centers have got a better understanding of what data centers are than those who are against data centers.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
I think, yeah.
It's almost like if you are more informed, then you're kind of like, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, and a lot of the anti-data center folks are just against data being stored in general, because they feel that it's, you know,
so what is that
privacy
data? What is that data? And some of that data, we talk about this tomorrow. Some of that data is being generated by AI and is involved in medical breakthroughs and things that are being researched and then applied in a way that would have taken 5 years, 10 years, if any time at all, if it was possible, now taking milliseconds. It's just crazy. So that's why the data centers are needed.
And they're needed for when you upload those 150 photos from your trip to Niagara Falls to Facebook in order to hold all that.
Noticing all the pollution on the Buffalo side.
The Buffalo side. We'll get to still a bunch of texts. Thank you for texting us this morning. 251-343-0106. We'll speed run these and get through the rest of them on the other side. Plus, let you know who's coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, which is on the way in minutes.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
On the way, the Jeff Poor Show, including State Rep Mark Shirley out in West Mobile, State Representative Danny Garrett, and also
Will Hampson.
Will Hampson, he's from the P2 Political Affairs. Policy affairs, I guess.
And, yeah, public affairs.
Public. There you go. There's the guest on the Jeff Poor Show. And Will Hampson works for three different companies. Policy, public, on a go. They're on the way.
Cheese Wagon on the text line says, I like cheese. Noted. Cheese Wagon. Squirrel Vereen says, time to get Lake America stickers and shirts. Anyway, as for the age topic, one, I can't stand when people who grew up for decades adopt trendy words and phrases to their speaking, like when Gen X nostalgia channel guys on YouTube say that we were built different. Obviously not, if you're saying that garbage. Yeah, there's something a little off when someone who you know is not of a certain generation are saying things like, well, that's rad. I don't know.
Well, we're damned if we do and we're damned if we don't.
Yeah, how about
if I use all the phrases that make me sound old, then I'm just... Then I'm criticized for that.
I think what the country
is boomer. I'm
saying
an old boomer.
Yeah, they just don't want you to talk.
I'm an old dumbass. But then if I try, you know, something a little trendy, then I'm like,
who's the cool guy?
Yeah. Hey, who's the cool guy that just came by?
Fire Dog says,
slip-on shoes.
Hey, I've been rocking some slip-ons. I don't mind them. Fire Dog says, mine were well-behaved. I thank God every day they all turned out okay. There were just days when you wondered. So off to Lowe's I went.
that was the very funny Fire Dog.
And BA says, if you've ever driven down County Road 13 during a soccer tournament in Fairhope, you'll quickly realize they didn't build enough parking. Vehicles parked on the side of the road almost to County Road 34. I think we had a flag football game out there last year, and you're right, the parking was an issue.
Oh, that's because you went to Bayside Academy and they said, nope.
We're going over there.
Out yonder.
That's right.
Jeff Poor Show on the way next.